Time to talk some college football. We are ever hopeful. Seriously, check out the website, picksixpreviews.com. Bunch of great info, interviews, fashion wars, featuring an Oregon photo, podcasts on Twitter. Use the handle at picksixpreviews. Welcome in Brett Ciancia. Brett, much appreciate the time. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, Steve. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I hunkered down from December till June, 6 months writing this 2020 preview book. And once it goes on sale there, it turns into radio season. So I've done 60 shows the last 3 weeks. Loving every second of it, and excited to talk some Oregon with you.
Do you need to pinch yourself every once in a while to remind yourself what city you're talking to? That's unbelievable.
Oh, no. I know. I love it. It's quite the tour, but it's great connecting with all, you know, fan bases across the country, because this is a one-man operation. I'm doing all 66 teams, so I like hopping around the country nationwide.
It's awesome. By the way, the season preview is available on the site. Great analysis, like he said, of all 66 Power 5 programs. So as a first-time guest, how about a little background? I see your area code is 610, and I lived in King of Prussia, so that's a little more west of Philly. So where are you based? Where do you hail from?
Yeah, I'm right there at Chester County. You know the roots there. I'm based out of Westchester, PA. It's actually more of a Philadelphia Eagles town than anything. So I'm kind of on my own being the college football guy in the area. But I love college football since day one. I launched Pick Six Previews back in 2012, and over the first seven seasons, it was graded the most accurate BCS and Power Five prediction in the country, beating everything on newsstands and everything online. So last year, I put it into a digital, PDF download, all 66 teams. And after the 19 book, I was selected to become a Heisman voter.
Nice.
Here we are in 2020, and excited to be talking.
So, honestly, when was the last time you were at the King of Prussia Mall?
I think when I was like 14 or something. I mean, that was a rite of passage. You go up to King of Prussia. I think it still is the biggest mall maybe in America, besides, I guess, the Mall of America out in Minneapolis. But no, that's a regional, some regional pride there. Everyone loves the KOP Mall.
Yep. I lived right across the street from it in those apartments. Let's get to some Pac-12. And, you're talking to a Duck fan base, so let's start with the least popular team, Washington. After three straight double-digit win seasons last year, they started out ranked, good defense, moments on offense. And then Chris Peterson decides to leave. They hire their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake. So what have you learned about how that transition is looking and maybe what you like about the Dogs this year?
Yeah, Steve, that one really took me by surprise when Peterson stepped down there. Keeping it in-house with Jimmy Lake, I think, is a good move for now, because what Jimmy Lake and Pete Kwiatkowski have built on defense there, one of the most successful over the last 5 years. If you were to average the five seasons, they're top five. So it's been an elite defense. They develop players above average, and then produce the NFL talent too. So, the defense again is loaded with All-American and All-Conference caliber players. But the question mark with Washington this year and as a program is if they can figure out their offense. I mean, I put this in the book that they're really an offensive coordinator hire away from competing for playoff titles, because the defense is so locked down and so elite that they got to fix the offense. So bring in John Donovan, has some NFL background, Penn State background, back when they were riddled with sanctions. So it's hard to really glean much from those hires or from those tenures. So we'll see. But the roster talent's there. I have them second in the Pac-12 North behind Oregon.
All right, let's get to Cal. Justin Wilcox, a former Duck player, a longtime defensive coordinator, Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, now year four as the Boss Bear, and they've increased their win total each year. He's a defensive guy. They've been strong on D. Offense got crushed by injuries last year. But if Chase Garbers is healthy, how do you like the potential of their offense to, push the whole team forward?
Yeah, you really hit it right there. It's really based on Chase Garbers' health. When he was healthy and when he started, Cal was 7-0, and in the top 25 of all my analytics and percentiles. Without him, though, 1-6, and in the bottom five nationally. So he means a lot to that program and to that team. So to have him back healthy is huge. All 10 starters around him are back on offense, so you expect a step forward there. So defensively, though, they do lose three NFL picks. That's the first time in a long time that's happened at Cal. But you have to trust this defensive staff, not just Wilcox himself, but Tim DeReuter over there, Peter Sermon. That's a coordinator I was able to talk to in the preseason. Really impressive staff they've built defensively. So And then the last bit is that they're really dummying down the offense to make it more of a ball control and a field position type offense to kind of complement that defense. It's all meant to benefit that defense first, so that's going to take them as far as they can.
Yep, Peter Sermon, another ex-Duck, talking with Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews. Stanford saw that tremendous run take a big dip last year, their first losing season. Man, since Harbaugh was coach back in 08, looks like the offensive line will be more Stanford-like in front of Davis Mills. Brett, how well-suited do you think the Cardinal are for a bounce-back season?
Yeah, I think bounce-back offensively. I think we can forecast a bounce-back offensively. Again, those three big starters were out most of the year. Walker Little, Foster Sorrell, Branson Braggs, all back. Plus, there was a ton of freshmen and young guys getting game reps ahead of schedule. So I look for that offensive line to bounce back just fine. Davis Mills is a former five-star. The question really, though, is on defense, because this is not like the old Stanford program that we become accustomed to. They're getting pushed around in the trenches ever since Solomon Thomas left in 2017. And one last note on Stanford's D. You always see transfers here and there, right? But Stanford, I think, has 17 transfers out. And it's not just roster guys or backups. This was two starting defensive linemen transferred out. So major question mark defensively. Even if the offense gets back to where it was, I think it's still about a 500 or a 7-win team at best.
The other Washington school also has a new coach, Mike Leach, now at Mississippi State. Ironically, where Stanford's former quarterback, KJ Costello, transferred, but Nick Rolovich takes over. Your preview talked about Rolovich and Leach similar in style. How do you think that helps the new guy hit the ground running, or with Washington State, I should say, hit the ground throwing?
Yeah, well said. Definitely hit the ground throwing. Washington State's a very unique program within the Power 5 footprint. Geographically secluded there, very far from airports, tough to recruit to like that. And doesn't have the budgets of their other, Pac-12 powers. So they got to get creative. They did it with Mike Leach. It worked. And now if they were ever to try and replicate what he did, Nick Rolovich is probably as close offensively on that offensive spectrum that you could find. In the book, I actually included Hawaii's stat graphics, too, just to show you how closely the offense is. Rolovich is at Hawaii compared to Leach's at Washington State. So I think that'll help when you go through a massive coaching scheme change. This will definitely help that, especially in a short offseason. But I think they take a slight step back and not really competing for the North this year because of it.
As far as Oregon State, they were really one brutal finish against the Cougars, or they'd have made a bowl in just second season under Jonathan Smith. Jake Luton had a nice season, though. A lot of folks I know think Tristan Gebbia might be better suited for the offense. Some weapons, year three of a program is always important. What's your take on logical expectations for OSU this year?
Yeah, I think the realistic expectation is it's still a work in progress. I really like what Jonathan Smith is building there. A lot of respect for him, especially offensively. Losing Jake Luton, though, is huge. He was really good with the ball, really took care of the ball. In fact, Oregon State's the only team in the country that never lost a turnover battle in any week during the season, 2019 season.
Whoa.
I think he was 28 touchdowns and just two or three picks, something like that. It was incredible stats. So basically, when you lose that, you lose some of that stability at the quarterback spot, and that slim margin of error in some of these close games might revert the other way. Now, a true standout on defense there, All-American candidate, Hamilcar Rashad, definitely deserving of all the hype. And then you're starting to see a lot of former Nebraska blue chips on the roster after Mike Riley came back. So they're starting to pop up everywhere. You mentioned Jebbia at QB. Avery Roberts is another guy. Got a receiver there, too. So it's just loaded with talent, but I think it's still a year or two away. But long story short, I like what they're doing there. I like what they're building. It's a tough spot to win, but they're doing the right things and, reason for optimism, at least defensively.
Yeah, I thought the hiring of Smith was a good stroke. We continue. We're talking with Brett Ciancia of Pick Six Previews. One general question about Oregon, because, we live in the bubble. We're the voice of the Ducks. Oregon football is the heartbeat of the sports community. But as somebody from elsewhere in the country, wired into this game, when you think Oregon, how would you say this program is perceived nationally?
Right. So I'll say from the casual fan, say the East Coast fan, they're still stuck back in the Chip Kelly area. That when they think of Oregon, and that's not the worst thing, but when they think of Oregon, they think of the gadget offense, kind of the speed offense, the hurry-up, no-huddle. and maybe a team that might show up a little small in, you know, in the, on the national stage against big lines. But what I'm trying to stress in the book this year and online on Twitter is this is completely different now. This is Mario Cristobal coming in, an offensive line guru himself. He's built this from the inside out. This is not the old Oregon. You know, all you had to do is watch them in the Pac-12 title game push around what was considered the best D-line in the country in Utah, and then a month later push around the best offensive line, Wisconsin, by holding them 100 yards under their rushing average. So this is built from the inside out. It's strong in the trenches, but more so, it's defense first this year. You know, this was a top-five defense last year. They returned 10 starters, and the one spot that's open is going to be filled by not just one, but two five-star prospects coming in. And the last bit on Oregon is this is the first time since, I think, the 1990s that a program in the Pac-12 has surpassed USC in five-year recruiting average. So for the vacancies at offensive line and maybe at quarterback, you're talking about the most talented roster, at least on paper, coming up in the ranks in the conference. And you have to trust the staff so far as great developers, too. So, and it's worth noting this book was published mid-June before the Pac-12 cancellations of non-con games. And at the time, and I still stand by it, I have Oregon making the playoff. I really think they've distanced themselves from the rest of the conference enough to go 9-0 in the league and return the Pac-12 to the playoff.
Nice. Because of the pandemic, we've barely gotten to know the new coordinator, Joe Moorhead. You know, he's had some explosive units. I don't have to tell you. I mean, you know, you're proximate to Penn State. So what could you tell us about his offense schematically, his style, and what's made him so successful?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a huge hit here on the East Coast. Had success at the FCS level, then had success at Penn State, taking over after the sanctions. So maybe it wasn't the greatest tenure down at Mississippi State, but as a coordinator, I call it the best coordinator hire of the whole cycle. I really believe that. You know, I actually watched a 15-minute YouTube clip of the guy breaking down one pass pattern, one pass concept. I mean, he's got an answer for everything that defense could possibly throw at you. And the last bit here is I know Oregon fans were clamoring for Herbert to be able to run the ball a bit last year. They really wanted the quarterback run game, and they weren't getting it. In the Rose Bowl, you saw how effective it was. He ran for 3 touchdowns. But with Moorhead, what you're going to get is expect 10 to 12 or 10 to 15 carries from the quarterback spot per game. And I think it's huge. It unlocks a new element to the offense and will only free up the downhill run game and the vertical passing even more. So thrilled with the hire, and expectations are high.
Yeah, he once you hear him talk, like you said, we had him on the show. When I clicked off, I had people texting me like they wish the game was tomorrow. So, you mentioned USC. Ever since Pete Carroll left, it seems like we know the talent, but you know they've been to just one major bowl in 11 seasons. They had a losing season the season before that. I would say Clay Helton is on the hot seat, but for open. Like you wrote, what is happening in recruiting where they once were just the dominant force on the West Coast?
Yeah, that's really the key issue here is recruiting because, well, part of it is when you put a coach on the hot seat for 18 months, I mean, you're going to turn off some recruits. They want to know who they're playing for, who they're committing to. You saw that where, you know, USC was normally a top five recruiter in the nation. You know, you could walk a mile outside of campus and lock in a whole top five class with all the talent down there in L.A. and Southern California. But, yeah, last year they finished 55th in the country, by far the worst ever in school history. And not just that, but I'm talking about the whole state of California where, say, 10 years ago, California schools like USC, UCLA, Stanford, they used to lock in 70% of the blue chippers from the state. Now that number is down to 5%. And to Oregon listeners, don't worry, they're not leaving the Pac-12 footprint. I've looked that up as well. The same percentage is staying in the footprint. It's just that instead of going to Cali schools, they're heading up to Oregon, up to Washington. Arizona State and Herm Edwards had a pretty big haul there. So Oregon and Washington are really the beneficiaries of that. And I think it was Cristobal that called it a home state, a home recruiting state after the Rose Bowl speech. So that's coming true. That's not just coach speak. You see it in the numbers. And Oregon's taking over the recruiting throne in the conference.
All right. In closing, you mentioned you like the Ducks to make their second playoff. And you didn't only eat chalk here. Most folks would default to Alabama or LSU. You think another team has a shot in the SEC. So I guess make your case for the other three teams to fill out this seventh ever college football playoff.
Yeah, absolutely. So at number one and two, I have Clemson and Ohio State. Those are kind of chalk, but, I mean, I don't really see anyone in their leagues challenging them. I think they proved it last year, and they're proving it in recruiting and every facet that they're going to be playoff caliber teams again. But really, the wild cards are Florida and Oregon. I've defended Oregon on this show already, but with Florida, I think they come out of the SEC this year. It's a weird offseason, right? So I really relied heavily on program continuity. You know, are the coordinators staying? Is the scheme continued from the year prior? How are they looking with returning starters, returning quarterback, that kind of thing? So when I broke down the SEC, I look at Alabama. The defense taking a little bit of a slide in November there. They lose their entire secondary, both rush edge guys, and Tua's gone. And then with Georgia, I mean, that offense looks like it's stuck in 1980, and last time they won a national title. But they lose four offensive linemen to the draft, and that was their key unit last year. Jake Fromm gone. So what I'm getting at is there's some instability at some of these other powerhouses. But with Florida, I really like Dan Mullen his third year, Todd Grantham, the coordinator, his third year. Kyle Trask now looks like the best quarterback in the conference. So for a program that's always had elite defense, they can finally have some stable quarterback play and above average or even great offense. So they look more complete and more stable heading in this weird offseason.
All righty, go Gators. Folks, he is Brett Ciancia. The site is picksixpreviews.com. The Twitter handle is @picksixpreviews. We are talking tons and tons of top flight information, analysis. Brett, really appreciate your time and insight. Stay well, stay safe, stay sane, and I absolutely look forward to catching up again down the road.
Yeah, same to you, Steve, and thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, our pleasure. Have a good one, man.